we're going to go. We'll go as far as time permits. And we're going to be talking about the leadership in the church. I will be speaking some from my heart because this is something that has been near and dear to me for a long time. I believe that when God calls each of us, and we are all in ministry, some people think, oh, well, that person's the whatever, fill in the blank, and they're called to a higher place. No, we are children of God. We are fellow servants with our Savior. And there is not one of us who stands above another. Accountability, yes, we have a greater responsibility and we have a greater accountability because of that. But we are fellow servants in Christ Jesus our Lord. Anybody, I was talking with one of the little girls this morning about in God's economy, we are either a saint or we are an ain't. And that means if you ain't saved, you ain't no saint. But if you are saved, you are a saint. And it sounds funny for somebody to say, well, saint so-and-so or saint such-and-such. But I would remind you that when Paul was addressing the church at Ephesus, he said to the saints at Ephesus. Right, Russ? You know? And so we're that's what we are. It's humbling, really, because I know who I am. And I'm going, really, Lord? Is that how you see me? But it is. It's how the Lord sees us. He sees us through His Son, Christ Jesus, and the completed work of the cross. You know, all have sinned and come short of the glory. But by grace, through mercy, we stand in the presence of the Lord. Last week I shared with you about who shall stand in the congregation of the righteous. He who has clean hands and has a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul to another, the 24th Psalm. We have, haven't we? We've sought, you know, in this virus that's going around, or when we're in some sort of a physical ailment, I'm reminded of the king. It wasn't Ahab, it was the king after him, and I can't remember right now, but he was ill, and he sought Beelzebub. And the prophet Elijah said, are you seeking a foreign god because there's no god in Israel? But so many times I find myself in that very place. I'm hurting or I'm struggling with something. Instead of going to God, I go to professionals. Not saying professionals aren't good. I think God ordained professionals. But there are times whenever I believe the best place to go is to simply come before the Lord and say, try me, Lord. If there's anything impure or unclean in me, I need to have you work in my life. And in that, Lord, you do the healing you have prescribed for me. And then from that place, Lord, give me wisdom about going and seeking help from other folks. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Jesus said in Matthew. Let's go to the text, because I could get off on something and it would be a rabbit trail. Lord, we pray you'd open your word to us and we thank you for it. In the simplicity, Lord, that it was written, help us to deliver it. Help us not to dwell upon it to a place where we take away from the depth of the knowledge and the wisdom that you give to us through it, Lord. We pray that your Spirit would lead us in it and that we would come from this place being able to turn to one another and understand that it was good that we were together in the presence of the Lord. Lord, we ask this in the most humble terms, and the saints of God said, amen. I'm going to put that away so that I don't get distracted. Chapter 3, 1 Timothy. Paul writing to Timothy as a servant of the Lord to another servant, one that he had trained up. He calls him his son in the faith. In 2 Timothy, he says, I remember you through tears. I'm so touched by the ministry that God has called you through to Timothy, that in my heart I rejoice with joy unspeakable. I'm paraphrasing, but Paul's saying, this is my heart for Timothy. And because it is my heart for him, we have it recorded in our Word of God throughout history that we might profit from it. So last week we had this struggle about how we were to worship and even each other's responsibility in worship. And then we looked at some of the ladies and some of their responsibilities. And how it was that we could be saved through childbearing. And that was not just this physical act, but it was the fact of nurturing a child up in the way that they should go, and when they mature, they will not stray from it. And really, that is generic to each and every one of us. It doesn't matter whether we are men of God or women of God. The fact is that we are of God. And so Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now, I will share with you, just on a personal note, that I have never been gifted with children of my own as far as in the flesh. But I have three wonderful daughters that call me dad. And I count that as a privilege. And I don't take it for granted. But beyond that is that I have folks, and you have folks in your lives, that we are spiritual fathers and mothers to. I am honored by some folks that consider me their spiritual daddy, and I'm humbled by it. But saints, I want you to understand that. So as we go on here today, this is Paul's heart. He's giving this young man his heart, and then that is what we are to gain as we study the knowledge of the Word as he shares it with us. This is a faithful saying. In other words, a saying that's foundational in faith. It's not, it doesn't err. There's no fallacy in it. It's faithful. It will hold water, literally. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, understand that we're not qualified because we're men. We're qualified because we're servants. We're qualified. There is a responsibility both of the guys and the gals within the body of Christ, and we have specific responsibilities. But it, once again, it's not one above another, except that there is an accountability. When a man of God does not do what a man of God is called to do, others suffer, including their spouses, their families, and in the church, there is that, what do I want to call it, role that is set forth that we are to be those who would see over. As a matter of fact, episkopos is the term used here in bishop, in others, presbyteros, but episkopos comes from a term scopus, and it literally means to view over or to overwatch. And so you're in a place where you're looking over, not for the simply for direction, but for taking care of. You're watching over. You're a shepherd. And so when we see shepherd, shepherd is not so much directive as it is a caring position. Jesus said to the apostles, as I have done, now go and do. He never lorded over them. He shepherded them. He ministered to them. He washed their feet. And then said, now as I have gone. He says, if this is who I am and you are of me, then what should you be? Whenever they had fished all night long, we talked about this before in the book of John, all night long they didn't catch anything. In the morning he says, children, did you catch any fish? No, we didn't catch anything. Cast your net on the other side of the boat. And of course they do, and John turns to Peter and says, I think that's Jesus. And out of the boat Peter goes, you know. And after they bring the boat to shore and Jesus has got coals and fish there and they eat, and he says, Peter, do you love me? Oh, God, I love you. No, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know. Peter, do you love me? You know, Lord, I don't even know my heart, but you do. And I'm paraphrasing again. And he says, you know what, Peter? That is going to be the signature of your ministry. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. As you turn there, I want to share with you the heart of the Lord for those who serve in ministry. And once again, that's not just pastors. That's Sunday school teachers. That's people who make sure the building is prepared and ready for ministry. The deacons. You know what? Deacons attain a great portion in the kingdom of God. But in the book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, about a third of the way into that chapter, the Lord is rebuking the shepherds of Israel because they haven't taken care of the sheep. And so it's in that line of thought. And he actually says, if you don't do what I've called you to do, I'll do it myself and you'll be taken. So I come back to that with some amount of gravity. Peter here in the fifth chapter of 1 Peter is writing after 30 years of ministry. He is about at the end of his ministry. He'll be martyred for his faith. And now he's conveying to us, the church, what it is to have a heart as a servant of God. He says, the elders who are among you, that same term, elder, episkopos, presbyteros, it's another term for pastor. In Acts, the 20th chapter, in the 17th verse, it tells us about these different people that are serving in these overseer ministries within one church. Now, these may have been house churches in the greater Rome. I don't know. But I think it's very interesting to me that when we see this here, it says, elders who are among you, I exhort, I encourage, I want you guys to be undergirded. I embrace you with this knowledge. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. If we get to it today and we close out this chapter, that's one of the things we're going to be talking about is the glory of God. But here in this place, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as pastors, elders, people with an overwatch capacity, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly. In other words, what they're saying is when you're called to ministry, do your ministry as unto the Lord, no matter what that is. Whether it is being a faithful employee or a faithful steward within the body of Christ. Do you agree? That is our heart, saints. That should be our hearts today. You know, we have saints today that some of them called last night and said, are we going to have fellowship? And I said, yeah, we're going to have fellowship. But there were some of them that I know that their immune system were compromised right now because of their health. And I said, you know, for you, dear one, I think it would be good if you stayed home. And that's not me wanting, you know, because I want everybody here. But I love these folks, and I know you love these folks. And it's a better witness to say we care more about you than your attendance. So we go on here. A bishop then must be, and understand that you desire a good work. I'm going to go back to our text now in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Understand it's not, listen, if you're lazy, you should not be a pastor. A pastor is a work. It's something we've been given to do, not watch. And ministries are given to us to do. You know, everybody says, well, I see that this needs to be done or that needs to be done. Well, it won't get done if we don't get at it. And so we continue on. A bishop then must be blameless. Literally, that means someone cannot hang a sin on you. It means you're not practicing sin. It does not mean that you've never sinned. If that were the case, none of us would ever qualify. I could not be a servant of the Lord if this was, you've never sinned. All have sinned. But it does not, what this means is that within this body and beyond this body in the community and within the church, somebody looks at somebody that they're going to bring into to leadership, elder leadership, and says, this person lives a life that is above reproach. And so we continue on that. Blameless, the husband of one wife, literally a one-woman man. Doesn't mean you've not gone through a divorce. You know, in some churches they feel if you've been divorced, if it's a biblical divorce, you're still qualified for ministry. If you're widowed, you're still qualified for ministry. If you're single and you've never been married, you're still qualified for ministry. But if you are married, you better have eyes for your wife and your wife alone. That's what this means. And so if that's not the case, then you need to ask God to light a fire in your marriage. And I think that goes, as we go on down, we'll be talking about some other things. I really don't want to spend a lot of time, so we'll keep moving. So a one-woman man, literally, temperate, sober-minded, temperate, you know, not bouncing all over the place, right? We have a place that we want to get to. Sober-minded does not mean I come up here or Pastor Josh or somebody else that comes up here and look like Carmen Lugosi. Okay, that you know, one of the, good evening. I'm so glad you could come. You know, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Philippians, amen? You know, and at the same time, I don't want to be up here cracking jokes, although I like to crack jokes. I think there's a time and a place, and I have even done it here. But, you know, I've come under conviction lately that this time is valuable, and it should not be given to drawing attention to ourselves but the Lord. And so in that case, I would ask, if you ever catch me bringing more attention to us, than we do to the Lord, we failed. Not that we don't fail from time to time. Sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, literally that you like to open up to people. Hey, come on over. Let's have some barbecue. Watermelon. You know, let's have a time of fellowship together. Then those who feared the Lord spoke one to another, come on over to my house and let's talk about my favorite subject, Jesus. Huh. We do that, don't we, Sarah? Yeah. And you know, we got to keep moving. But given the hospital, able to teach. Simply what this means is that you can communicate the Word of God effectively. That you pass through rightly dividing the word of truth and leaving behind the fragrance of Jesus Christ. That you open things up to where people go, aha, I get it now. And understand something. God gives gifts to everyone. And don't choose a pastor because he's gifted. Anybody can be gifted. Choose a pastor because he has a heart. Choose men of God and women of God because they have a heart for God, and let God do what God needs to do through that person for the good of the body, for the building up of the saints, for Ephesians chapter 5, right? So let's continue on here, but that's something we want to be doing. So able to teach, not given to wine. Some places, and understand, Paul actually tells Timothy, hey, look, you have some things going on in your digestive system, and a little wine once in a while wouldn't really hurt. But don't be controlled by it. Don't let it embrace you to the place where it alters your judgment. For many of us, I will just share that I have had problems with booze in the past. I don't do any wine. I don't do beer. I don't do anything because I know that I'm free to do all things, but I'm not to be brought under the control of any. And for me, that was a struggle. And so I don't do any of it. Doesn't mean that if you do it, you're wrong. I need the grace to be able to say, well, praise God. As long as you're not being controlled by it. If you are, we're going to talk. Not violent. You know, not only not violent at home or not violent in the church, but not violent in the community. Somebody who's not given to being a brawler. You know, somebody that does not take, doesn't mean that I won't defend myself, but it does mean I won't go outside myself, you know. And even if I take satisfaction in defending myself, that's something we have to be very careful of, saints. And so we continue down this line. Boy, does time go fast. Let's see, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, not covetous is another place in there. You know, not given over to other translation, not filthy lucre, not getting caught up in chasing the dollar. Literally what this means is that you're satisfied where you are, whether you have much or have little. Paul says, I've learned whether I have much or I have little, my contentment is in Christ Jesus. It's not in what I possess, but who I am possessed in. I'm possessed in the hand of God. And saints, I want to share with you that in our society, this can be a struggle for us. What are we giving up to follow Christ? Paul says, I count all things but rubbish, save the knowledge of the excellency of the glory of the Lord. And once again, we continue down that line. Not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome. Literally, you don't like picking a fight. You know, people love debates, don't they? And they want to debate over things. And it tells us in other places, avoid foolish controversy or getting into foolish disputes with somebody that don't profit at all. Don't get caught up in that stuff. And as a pastor, you really shouldn't be caught up in it. Okay, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. There was a saying in the Marine Corps, helicopter pilots do not fly. They beat the air into submission. Saints, sometimes that's the way we read this, and it's completely wrong. What this means literally is that we bring our houses to the place where we can say, follow me as I follow Christ. That my children would see that I am a godly man, that you are a godly man, ladies, that you are godly women, and that we bring people under our authority, not because if you don't do it, I'm going to bust your chops, but because you can see that the fruit of that is going to be for your good. And so that's what this is about. When it says in the book of Ephesians, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that's exactly what we're to be doing. We're to be those people who lead our household in such a way that it is not grievous for our household to come under our authority. That's what this means. And so we continue on down that line of thought, and it says, with all reverence, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Give me your eyes for a second. This is the dwelling place of God. Right here, not here, here. And if I can't get this where it needs to be, if we can't get this where it needs to be, then that's where we need to go before the Lord and get that rectified before we go any further. What qualifies us for leadership is submission, service, a desire, a strong desire. One thing have I, Psalm 27, desire to the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell. That means to abide comfortably in the house of the Lord. Why? Because I want to see your beauty. I want to see your glory. Because in seeing your glory shine over us, what happened to Moses when he was in the glory of God? He caught the Shekinah, didn't he? You know? And when I'm close to godly people, I'm so thrilled because that godly rubs off. You know, it's from the depth of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so we go down through this here. If you rule your own house well, it's going to be because you're God's servant. And saints, you could live alone and not rule your own house well. Or you could live like a dear friend of mine with five children of his own and one that he brought in just because he had time and a place to put her. And she went over and sat on his lap yesterday, and he had his little boy on one side and this three-year-old girl on the other side, and neither one of them felt left out. He was ruling his house well. Why? Because he's a lover of God. Not a novice, least being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Anybody know what the devil's job was? He was a worship leader, wasn't he? And so he sought to bring what was God's rightful worship to himself. Read Isaiah chapter 14. We don't have time to go there, but I'm going to give you some stuff, okay? I'm going to give you Isaiah chapter 14. Take a look at it. Ezekiel chapter 28. Look at the heart of the individual, the king of Tyre, and how he fails. And that is exactly the M.O. when we let our flesh run our heart after God, after the things of the flesh, and not after God. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Now, Jesus is sending out the 70, okay? And he's sending them out with the authority to minister as he ministers, to heal the sick, to touch the lame, all these different things. And they come back and they are pumped. And then he says, be careful. Let's take a look. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. It's in his name. Not that they're subject to the individual, but in the name of the Lord. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. What he's saying there, saints, is be careful. You don't get so caught up in how God is using that you miss who it is that's using you. We want to be his servants. And we want him to be recognized. And that is so important, saints. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice in that your names are written in heaven. Anybody want to say amen to that? There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. And the white robe angels sing a story, a sinner has come home. That's us. And by that grace. Now, here's the deal, and I shared this with you last week. You know, I'm not saying we should not be aware of this virus that's going through our nation and around the world. But saints, don't get caught up in the virus to the place where you miss the beautiful work of the Lord and walk in the confidence of His provision. Doesn't mean don't wash your hands. It doesn't mean be careful. It doesn't any of that. But don't become so focused on that you miss opportunities to see Jesus. Our greatest testimony is how we behave whenever we're in the midst of a trial. Blessed be the God of all comfort who comforts us in the midst of our trials. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That we might be able to comfort others with the comfort that we ourselves have received. Rejoice that you have a name in glory. Back to our text here in the book of Timothy. We're not to be a novice, least being puffed up. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, least he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Have you ever wanted to invite somebody to church, but you thought, well, if they see the pastor, they may not come? Well, no, probably not. I hope not. But what this says is that if you mention the church, this church and the leadership of this church should have a testimony within the community that they say, oh, I've heard good things about that. Oh, I met that guy or I met that gal. They are such loving people. Where did they ever learn that? Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. Martha says, Jesus, would you tell her to give me a hand? Martha, Martha, you're all wound up and serving. Take a moment. Take a breath. Let the Shekinah roll over you so that when you walk in the lives of other people, they see my glory. Mary is partaking in that which cannot be taken from her. She can give it. Did you know Christianity is like the measles? You have to have it to give it away. We need to let Jesus work in our lives. Amen. And so we go on now, and I don't do this lightheartedly, but we go on in other parts of leadership within the church and understand that in Calvary Chapel, here in this fellowship, and I believe throughout our ministry as a whole, pastor, overseer, elder, scopus, episkopos, presbyteros, we may differ a little bit in different things that we do, but overall we're watching over the body. But then there are those guys that are also in leadership, but it's, and gals too, that are in a quieter leadership we call deacons. And I say quieter in that they normally do not teach. They may teach a Sunday school class. They may be involved with children's ministries. But many times we see these deacons literally doing the muscle work, if you would, of the ministry. Turn to Acts chapter 6. And if you noticed, I'm using this new Bible. Last week during the week, I just kept fanning the pages back and forth, and they're still not doing exactly what I want them to, but we're doing better. 6:1, Acts 6:1. Now in those days, the number of disciples was multiplying, and there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint for this business. But we are to give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicolaus, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. These are deacons. These are people that are involved in the active work of the ministry beyond the pulpit. And they're doing things. Saints, I want to share with you that as a deacon or a deaconess, you are that silent servant who God sees. I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked along the streets of gold beside a crystal sea. The angels there were singing, and I heard, I heard a young man call your name. Basically, I lost that. I don't know, maybe it wasn't intended that I should share it. But there's a song, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. At the end of this song, it says, each one came as far as the eye could see, so each one somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, gone on earth unnoticed, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord and he said, my child, look around you. Great is your reward. Great is the ministry of preparation to present the gospel. Great is the ministry of Sunday school. Great is the ministry of hospitality. Great is the ministry of faithful worship. Great is the ministry, listen to me closely, of tithe and offering. That's why we don't make a big thing out of tithe here. Yes, it is our responsibility to tithe and offerings. But if the Lord puts that on your heart, there's a box back there, and that's between you and God. So we continue down through this line, and deacons, likewise deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine. A little different there, but certainly we want to be careful, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Literally, that means that you are discovering the wonders of the Word from a pure place. You're not seeking to use the Word for your advantage. You're coming and the Lord is literally unveiling things to you and you're going, oh man, is that glorious or what? You have a pure heart. You come before the Lord and you say, I just want to see this, Lord. It's a mysterion is the Word and it is something to be discovered, okay? How many of us open our Bibles and go, well, I guess I'll open my Bible today. Or do we open it and go, Lord, even so, speak to my heart. Open your word to me, Lord. Let it dwell in my heart richly. Lord, let the knowledge of your word govern my prayer. And let me hunger for your fellowship. But let these also first be tested. Let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Literally, it means that we are watching to see that the Lord is working in your life. That we see you actually doing the work of a deacon, that you're involved in the preparation of the ministry and the presentation of the ministry to such a place that we all, those in leadership go, have you considered Joe? Look at how this guy, he's the first guy here on Sunday morning. He's one of the last guys to leave. Every time we do set up or take down, he's involved. If we do an outreach, he's at the park when we get there. And saints, I want to share what we're talking about right now as deacons, but I'm going to go one further in this in just a moment and say deaconesses. You see, in the first part, it didn't talk about wives, and we're going to get into that in just a minute, but understand that when wives is going to be translated more accurately, women. And while a woman was not to have authority or to teach in scriptural matters above in the congregation, there are certainly tons of opportunities for ministry with the ladies in the church. It says that he's to be tested, let him serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives. And so back to this place again, not saying one lesser than the other. Wives here, if you go back and look, it's actually a better term to say women. And this is women within the body of Christ. Give me your attention for a minute. This is very, very important. It is important that every one of us see that there is a ministry that is particularly a blessing for us. We can be, for instance, we had Dorcas who... she made clothes, and they put them away, and she fell ill. And the apostle came, and they said, look at the clothes this woman makes. And I think that wasn't Jesus. That was an apostle, right, Josh? And they look at what she's doing, and they minister to her. She's healed. And we have others. Phoebe in Romans chapter 16 is commended. This is a woman who is commended for her ministry. So with that in mind, let's take a quick look. Likewise, women must be reverent, not slanderers. In other words, not running around dragging somebody through the mud. Temperate, faithful in all things. These things overlap, don't they? Whether it's a guy or a gal, there's some things that we need to be doing in ministry. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife. So we're going back to that place. Same thing as we see in other places in church leadership. We also see this in the book of Titus. Ruling their children and their house as well. Follow me as I follow Christ. Not because I told you so, but because I want to demonstrate Christ to you. So if I want to be a leader in my house, the thing I want to do greatest is get close to Jesus and then let Jesus use me in leadership. It says, for those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so I take you back to a place that I left from about 25 minutes ago. Who shall stand in the congregation of the righteous? Paul says, let us make our calling and election sure. Saints, you are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But if we are truly saved, should not our lives reflect it? Should we not desire to be in ministry, in service to the Lord, great or small? If you were to give a child, Jesus says, a glass of water in my name. Lord, did you see this? No, that's not what it means. It means you have his heart for that child. Give me that heart, Lord. Give us clean hands. Give us a pure heart. And so we're going to wrap this up real soon. Boy, I wish I could spend more time on this, and it may be that we'll fall back.